Chapter 7.
Do those green bastards know we're down here?
I breathed.
They don't,
Nadir whispered.
I just heard them talking a minute or two ago, and they didn't say anything that would have indicated they knew we were all down here.
Ah, well, that's a relief, I sighed. What about the fire from last night?
We buried it,
Ahuara explained.
Just like you asked us to.
And I flew the barrel of fish back to the ship,
Tyrion added.
There shouldn't be any sign of us anywhere on the beach at all.
Still, I warned, there's no hiding our giant wooden ship. If they go down the beach too much further, they're going to run right into it and then sound the alarm.
Unless we get to them first,
Sela suggested. Exactly, I agreed with a nod. We'll have to kill them before they let the rest of their orc buddies know we're here. How many were there, Nadir?
We only had two,
the raven-haired raccoon woman noted.
But they were laughing and talking about how they've basically overrun the island.
Overrun the island?
Gemma gasped.
Oh no!
Nadir and I didn't hear the entire conversation,
Lazan explained.
But we did hear they had direct orders to spread out through the forest and stop the Dragon King and his bitches from interfering with their plans. So it's a fight they want.
Mira half smirked.
I'll gladly give it to them.
We have to be smart about this, I warned the beautiful Dragonkin warrior. Of course they want us to fight. Did you see how many of them there were compared to us? If we tried to attack them head-on, it'd be a fucking disaster.
Though I've never encountered these orcs before, I've inferred from what you've told me that they are very dumb.
Dolwyn spoke up.
Would that assumption be correct?
It definitely is, I confirmed. The generals can be clever at times, but the regular old grunts are pretty much the bottom of the barrel. Super strong and deadly with their weapons, but still dumber than a box of rocks.
Then we need to take them out without them noticing,
Ahuara suggested.
Ooh.
Sela cooed.
Are you suggesting a stealth assault?
I think that's exactly what's in order, I agreed. We can't stay down here forever. We need to get to the volcano as quickly as we can, and if that means tearing through a bunch of orcs along the way, so be it. We'll start with those two who came wandering by our camp. Then we'll go from there.
Not to be a naysayer or anything,
Malky's voice spoke up in my head.
But what should Tyrion and I do? Neither of us are really built to do the whole stealth thing.
Nonsense, I reassured them. Malky, has your father ever told you about the first time we met?
Only a million times.
The water dragon rolled his eyes. There we were, just wandering through the forest, and then bam! Water dragon! I chuckled. He came completely out of nowhere like a cat in the night. If he can sneak up on us, then you guys can sneak too.
Just try to walk slowly,
Mira suggested.
And don't knock over any trees,
Gemma added.
Or go out into any clearings.
Ahuara also threw in her 2 cents.
Are you sure you don't want us to just hang back?
Tyrion sighed.
I think it would make things way easier.
Maybe, I shrugged. But if shit hits the fan, and they do send the entire army of orcs down upon us, we'll need you by our sides. It's a risk I think we're just going to have to take. Malky bowed his head, and Tyrion followed suit after seeing his friend do so.
Of course, Drago Rex,
the water dragon conceded.
We will do whatever you wish. So, if that wish is coming along with you on a stealth mission, even though my haunches make the sound of thunder when I walk, I will do it.
That's an image I never thought I'd see, I smiled. Now, without further ado, let's go kill some orcs.
There are only 2 of them,
Mira said.
And there are 16 of us. Perhaps we should only send a few of us at a time?
Or we could just rush them,
Nadir suggested with a devilish grin.
16 versus 2 are odds that will be always in our favor.
That'd get chaotic very quickly.
Sela shook her head.
The last thing we need is for one of us to accidentally hit somebody else while our actual targets get away.
Then I volunteer to go,
Nadir declared.
I want in on some of this action. I'll go too,
Mira proclaimed.
You can take one, and I'll take the other.
What about the rest of us?
Kandara frowned.
Don't tell me you're leaving all of us behind.
There will surely be more orcs out there, I reassured the golden-haired beauty. Trust me. We'll all get a shot at taking him down. Which way do those first 2 go, Nadir?
They were headed south.
Nadir explained.
In the opposite direction of our ship. Thank ocean.
Mira placed her hand on her chest and exhaled.
We'll still have the element of surprise.
But for how long?
Dalwin pointed out with a frown.
Won't these ugly creatures start to notice their brethren are suddenly going missing?
Probably, I admitted. That's why we need to strike swiftly and take out as many as we can before they figure it out. All of us drew our weapons and held them at the ready before we snuck out onto the beach, and we walked with our heads on a swivel as we looked in every direction and did our best to softly move through the forest. After a short 15-minute excursion, we finally came upon the two orcs the Kunag had seen earlier.
Can you fucking believe we got put on beach duty?
One of the orcs groaned in a loud voice.
They could have shoved us at the foot of the volcano or thrown us somewhere into that nasty forest or some shit like that. But they didn't. They gave us the easiest job in the world. Just walking and shooting the shit along the beach.
Yeah,
the second orc snickered.
There ain't even a ship out here yet. And if one does pull up, we'll see it coming from miles away. Easiest fucking job in the world.
Oh, those poor bastards had no idea what was coming. I'd almost feel sorry for them, if they weren't murderous dumb fucks.
I'll go left,
Mira whispered to Nadir.
You'll go right.
The Kunag woman nodded in agreement, and then both of the warriors went off in opposite directions. Meanwhile, the rest of us hunkered down in place as we watched Mira and Nadir get to work. The orcs were walking just beyond the tree line, out on the sandy beach. Nadir scurried up one of the nearby trees before she silently began to hop between their branches, and Mira stalked her prey under the cover of the trees. Both of the women moved with elegance and grace, even though I knew what was coming next was going to be a macabre sight to see.
Do you really think that Dragon King is going to be stupid enough to show his face?
One of the orcs cackled.
I hope he does!
The other one snorted.
I'd love to watch our men break his skull open and eat his brains with their dinner. And then, oh, there's all those broads he brings around with him all the time. You know what I'd love to do to them, right?
My fists clenched as my face flushed red. These bastards didn't dare talk about my women like that. It was taking every ounce of my willpower to keep from running over right here and now and killing them myself. Thankfully, I didn't have the chance. Mira looked up at Nadir in the tree, and then they both counted down from three silently. When they hit zero, they sprang from their hiding spots and launched their assault. Nadir called out as she fell from the sky and held her axe high.
What in the fuck?
The orc gasped as he looked at his attacker. But it was far too late. Nadir's axe slammed square between the orc's eyes, and there was a loud, wet crunch as his head was split straight down the middle. His body went limp as he fell to the ground, and bits of his bright pink brain sloshed out onto the sand. At the same time, Mira launched out from the tree line with her spear, and she let out a soft growl as she lunged with her weapon and drove the spear tip straight through the second orc's heart. He opened his mouth to say something, but all that came out was a soft gurgle. A trickle of blood ran out of the green bastard's mouth as he stumbled backward and collapsed onto the ground, dead. Nice work, I announced to my friends as we came out of our hiding spot. They never saw that coming for a second.
Well,
Nadir chuckled.
They might have been alerted when I let out my battle cry, but only for a moment. There's no shame in the battle cry.
Luzon reassured her friend.
You wouldn't be a true Kunag if you didn't do it every time you fight.
Those sorry fuckers also gave us a bit of an advantage. I pointed to the two corpses on the beach. Now, we know they've got orcs stationed all the way from here to the base of the volcano. Hopefully that means we won't be caught off guard as we travel to our final destination.
What about these bodies?
Sela asked.
We don't want to just leave them out here in the open.
Drag them into the tree line, I ordered. That'll at least get them out of sight for now. Honestly, I'm not too worried about these guys getting found by the others. If we do this right, they'll all be dead before they get a chance.
Now that's what I like to hear,
Lazan declared with a sharp smile.
Let's go kill the rest of these acorn hordes.
We made our way into the forest as we began to head toward the volcano at the island's center. The journey was silent for the first few legs, but soon we heard several gruff voices off in the distance.
Can you believe they put us in the forest?
One of the orcs mused.
Those suckers down on beach duty are gonna be the first ones to die if that Dragon King shows up.
What?
A second green bastard laughed.
You don't trust Stitch and Gronk to single-handedly kill the Dragon King and his crew?
They probably think they could.
Another orc cackled.
Those two knuckleheads probably think they're getting these dragons, too.
Hey!
Nobody's getting the dragons, remember?
The first orc snarled.
They're safe for our captains, and our captains only. Can you imagine the kind of crazy shit we'd get into if they let us common orcs get a hold of a dragon?
Huh! That'll be the day.
The third orc scoffed.
Maybe we can actually stay in the fucking palace instead of the factories while we're at it, too.
Factories? Holy shit. I knew the orcs were further along technologically than most of the other races in this region, but they were to the point where they had fucking factories. I definitely wouldn't have guessed that. As much as I wanted to learn about the orcs' home island, we couldn't risk having these bastards seeing us. So I looked over at my friends to see who wanted to take these guys, and I was met with three nods from Halara, Ahuara, and Elzara. The three Morpho women pulled out their fan blades, flicked them open fully, and smiled at each other shyly. Then they carefully stepped forward and took aim at the orcs from afar. Finally, they fluttered up into the air and gave each other one final glance before they went in for the kill. The butterfly women rocketed forward through the air as if they'd been shot out of a cannon. Within seconds, they'd gained ground on the orcs and held their fan blades out to the side. Then, as smooth as scissors gliding through wrapping paper, the Morpho women shot past their targets and sliced open their throats from the side. The orcs let out gasps of surprise as spurts of blood erupted out from their cut jugulars, and dark red liquid gushed from the bastards' wounds as they fumbled and gurgled endlessly. Within seconds, they'd lost enough blood that their mossy green skin turned into a sickly lime color, and then they wobbled and stumbled before they collapsed into a heap on the ground.
Whoa.
Sella gulped through a smile.
That was incredible.
Like a surgeon in an operating room, I chuckled.
I've never seen such a brutal kill with such grace,
Nadir observed with keen and impressed gray eyes.
So much blood, yet there was no screaming or bludgeoning whatsoever.
Ahuara trained them well.
Dalwyn puffed out her chest.
There's a reason I chose her to start my colony of Morphos above anyone else.
The three butterfly women fluttered back to our position, landed on the ground, and then wiped the blood off their fan blades.
Should we worry about those bodies, too?
Halara questioned. Nah, I shook my head. We'll let the bugs and the birds take care of them. Besides, these trees look like they could use some fresh fertilizer. We pushed forward, deeper into the Isle of the Dragons, until we came across a single orc who was leaned up against an ashy white tree.
Just one orc?
Elzara pondered quietly.
I may want to try this one.
Don't be too cocky, I warned. There's no way they only sent one orc out to a post. They might be dumb, but they're not that dumb. We stood in tense silence as we watched the orc against the tree. He pulled out a small iron dagger, flipped it around in his hand, and then began to carve some sort of strange markings into the trunk. After a few minutes of doodling, he pulled his dagger out of the tree and raised the end up to his mouth, and we all watched in disgust as the orc used the weapon to pick at his gross yellow teeth and then wipe the remnants on his dirty brown shirt.
Togrik!
The orc bellowed as he looked off into the trees.
This is gonna be one massive shit! Do you want me to come over and punch you in the gut? That'd probably get it out a lot faster! Shut your filthy mouth!
Another grumbling voice erupted from just off to our left.
I told you eating those weird flying creatures with the leathery wings was a bad idea. Oh. What are you talking about?
The first orc snickered.
It was fucking delicious. Yeah, but I'm paying for it right now.
The orc named Targrik grumbled.
Oh, just give me a minute here. We should be fine. If anyone tried to sneak up on us, the others would have told us by now.
Now's our chance, I whisper to my friends. They're split up, and we literally caught one of them with their pants down.
Do you want to do the honors, Draco Rex?
Sela asked me. I guess I'll take the one to the left, I agreed. It'll be more of a challenge for you, I suppose.
Challenge?
Sela smirked.
What challenge?
Before I could say anything else, Sela pulled out her sea-glass dagger from its sheath, flipped it around so she was holding it by the blade, and then whipped it at the orc against the tree. The dagger stabbed into the orc's throat, and his eyes went wide as he gurgled and fumbled at the hilt that now jutted out of his neck. He stumbled forward a few paces before his eyes rolled back into his head, and he collapsed.
Did you even look before you threw that?
Zarandri gasped.
It was a stationary target.
Sela shrugged.
I suggest Ben gets to work on his own target before it starts to move as well.
Damn. Sela had a bit of sass today. And I was all for it. I drew my sword from its sheath and then started to wander off to the left, toward the direction I'd heard the voice.
Moko!
Targric's voice suddenly erupted.
Why are you being so quiet, you little shit? Did you forget to take the dick out of your mouth?
Without warning, the orc appeared around one of the trees. He was nearly double my size, with bulging muscles and broad shoulders that looked like they were ripped straight off an ox. His eyes went wide when he saw me, so I sprang into action before he could make a move. I lurched forward, stabbed him through the shin, and brought him down onto one knee. Then, before he could scream, I brought my sword back around and slashed his throat all the way down through his vocal cords. The orc gasped and gurgled as he tried to yell, but all that came out was a few splurts of blood onto the ground. I raised my sword once more, took aim at his thick neck, and then brought it down with force. My opponent went limp as his head fell away from his body and rolled across the ground, and I watched as his blood oozed out of the fresh stump on his neck. I wiped my sword against the tree, sheathed it, and then was careful to step over the dead orc's body as I headed back to my friends. That takes care of that, I announced as I stepped into the clearing. Let's keep moving. We began due west once more, though it wasn't long before Arik spoke up.
Dad?
The Dragon Prince questioned through a whisper.
Can I kill the next one?
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that, I admitted. I know you've had some experience fighting that Hopper and the Morpho men, but orcs are a different beast altogether. They'll kill you the second they get their hands on you.
Then I just won't let them get their hands on me.
Arik shrugged. Yep, he was definitely my son. However, as much as I appreciated his gusto, this was way different than the overconfidence I usually had. Arik may have had spunk, but he was still the equivalent of a preteen boy. Unless he absolutely landed a killing blow on his very first attack, he would be fucked. Even then, all it would take was an orc to take one swing, and Arik would be in a world of hurt. Or worse. Confidence is the sign of a good leader, I explained to my son. However, overconfidence is toxic, Arik. A wise leader will always be ready to fight, but an even wiser one will be able to recognize when you should avoid fighting.
How about that? Jonas chuckled. And I thought I was the only wise old sage around these parts.
I'm becoming wiser, I winked at the soothsayer. You have to be when you're literally the only thing standing between your people and total annihilation.
So, is that a no?
Arik frowned. It's a strong we'll see, I promised.
That usually means no.
The preteen boy rolled his eyes. It's a maybe, I argued. Maybe Malky can help out?
Ugh,
the boy sighed.
I can do it without having my hand held.
Like hell he could. But I knew better than to argue with a spunky adolescent. So I just played the I'm your father, so listen to me card, and left it at that. We'll see, I repeated with a grumble. So we continued through the forest. The volcano at the center of the island was now large on the horizon, and I knew we were getting close to our destination. Soon, we'd be inside of the mountain and preparing for the fateful rebonding ceremony. But first, we had to make sure none of the orcs got in our way.
I wish we knew how many orcs there are lurking around.
Gemma sighed as her head darted back and forth.
It would give me a lot of peace of mind to know how much more danger is out there.
I can tell you one thing for sure.
I promised the Nerolope woman. If their primary goal is to keep us out away from the volcano, then our problems will probably be over once we're up inside of it.
How did you figure?
Mira asked with a skeptical look. These are orcs, I chuckled. Remember what I said about overconfidence? They think this is already a done deal. These fuckers already think they've got us right where they want us, and they think the dragons in that mountain are as good as theirs. Sure, they'll probably have a bunch of guys stationed inside of the volcano, but if nobody knows they're gone, they won't have the foresight to send any more.
So, basically, once we get into the mountain and kill the orcs inside, we'll be safe?
Ahuara asked. Pretty much, I nodded. But we can't get ahead of ourselves. There's still a lot of land between us and the volcano.
Probably a lot of orcs, too.
Sela mused as she spun her spear.
I can't wait.
Eventually, the forest began to thin out. The trees grew sparser apart, and the ground became more and more rocky and ashy, representative of the volcanic landscape all around us. Then the forest disappeared completely, and we were met with a large, rocky clearing that stood just before the giant behemoth of landscape that rose up to the heavens. More alarming, however, was the group of orcs that stood between us and the volcano. There were 10 of the fuckers in total, each one with a weapon in their hands. 3 of the orcs held on to scimitar-style iron swords, while 5 of them wielded massive, irregularly shaped wooden clubs. The final 3 had bows with arrows already in their strings and at the ready.
Still want to try and take them on your own? I jokingly asked Eric while we remained hidden under the cover of the trees.
The Dragon Prince shot me a frown, but the point was obviously understood. Then my son held his sword up in a defensive stance as he looked out over the clearing.
What do we do, Ben?
Dalwin whispered into my ear.
There's nowhere to hide. They'll see us coming no matter how we approach.
Not necessarily, I smiled as the light bulb turned on in my brain. Yeah, we can't sneak up on them, but we could offer up a distraction that'll take their eyes off the tree line and give us a shot at getting in closer.
A distraction?
Elzara rubbed her chin.
What kind of distraction are you thinking?
A big one. I grinned at the blue-haired morpho. Actually, 2 big ones. I glanced over at Tyrion and Melky, and the silver-scaled dragon's eyes bulged out of his head.
Wait!
Tyrion gulped.
I really hope you're not talking about us.
I am, I said. Tyrion, if you fly up above them, they're going to freak the fuck out about seeing a dragon in the flesh. And then if Melky wanders out into the clearing, they're going to freak out even more.
Then while they're giddy and distracted by the sight of 2 living, breathing dragons, we'll strike.
Nadir slammed her hand into her fist as she finished my thought. Exactly, I nodded.
Oh, that's all fine and all,
Tyrion chuckled.
But, what happens if they start shooting at us in the meantime?
Come on, guys, I snickered. You're both freaking dragons. If they start to shoot at you, then you'll take them out without so much as breaking a sweat.
Actually,
Melky offered.
If that's the case, couldn't we just rush right at them and attack?
It'd be worth a shot, I admitted. But they're way more likely to attack an aggressive dragon than a timid one.
We'll try it your way, Ben,
Tyrion agreed.
I just hope that things don't go south.
Don't worry, Tyrion.
Gemma reassured her bondmate.
If anyone looks like they're going to attack, I'll drop them before they can even take a step.
Thanks, Gemma.
The silver dragon smiled.
I know you'll always protect me.
We'll drop them all before they get a chance to hurt you, I promised. Trust me. Melky and Tyrion gave me soft nods, and then they started to slowly move into position. Melky lumbered a few dozen yards down the tree line, while Tyrion rose up on his wings and floated over to the left. The orcs must have heard the dragons rustling, because they all tensed up and began to look around wildly. Everyone pick a target, I whispered to my crew. The second they're distracted, we strike. I focused my attention on the green bastard at the very center. He had a thick club in his hand and a tattered brown tunic over his comically muscular body, and he looked like he'd be the hardest to drop out of all of these guys. For that reason alone, I wanted to be the one to take him on, just for the pure challenge of it all.
Who's there?
The big orc demanded.
I swear to shit, if you fuckers left your posts, I'm gonna rip off your balls and shove them down your own goddamn throats.
When nobody answered, the orcs seemed to grow more tense. They tightened their grips on their weapons as they shifted their weight on the balls of their feet and looked around the tree line. That was when Tyrion and Malky made their move. The airborne silver dragon flew out above the clearing, and the water dragon slowly came out into view from the right.
Holy fuck! Those are fucking dragons!
The big orc stammered.
How the fuck are they awake?
I thought they weren't supposed to wake up until we had that old dude in our grasp,
another one of the green bastards asked. My blood ran cold as realization set in. Their plan wasn't to try and wake up the dragons themselves. They were specifically waiting for us. Or more specifically, Jonas. They wanted to capture our dragonkin elder and then force him to do the rebonding ceremony for them. It was actually kind of clever, especially for a bunch of brainless orcs. However, there was just one problem. We already had the jump on them, and they didn't even know we were here. Well, they were about to find out.
No!
I commanded. All of our warriors followed me as we charged out into the clearing and barreled toward the orcs at full speed. The Morpho women flew up into the air and shot toward their targets with the speed of diving falcons. They passed by our enemies with their fan blades open, and sprays of red mist erupted through the air as six of the orcs went down. Meanwhile, Gemma raised her bow, pulled back the arrow, and launched it into the crowd of orcs. One bastard screamed as the projectile punctured his eye and sent his head backward, and he was dead before he even realized what happened. There were three of the orcs left standing, one for me, and one for the pair of Kunag and Dragonkin at my side. Lazan cackled as she stuck the green bastard in the face with the blunt side of her axe. Then, as he stumbled backward, Nadir pounced atop his chest and knocked him to the ground. Before he could make another move, the Kunag leader's teeth were at his throat, and she ripped out his larynx with a spray of dark blood. On my other side, Mira and Sela lunged forward with their spears. Mira spun around, threw out the hilt of her weapon, and swept the leg out from underneath her target. At the same time, Sela held out her spear straight up and watched as gravity brought the orc down onto it. The weight of the fucker forced the head of the spear up through his chest, and he gurgled as he choked on his own blood. That just left me and the hefty fucker. He tried to take a swing at me with his club, but I was quick to knock it away with my sword. Then, while he was still briefly stunned by the parry, I drew out my pinkstone dagger and plunged it into his sternum. There was a wet crack as my dagger broke through his chest bone and stabbed into his heart, and his eyes went wide as he opened his mouth in surprise. Then, as quickly as it had begun, the fight was over.
Did you hear that, Ben?
Gemma gasped.
They want to capture Jonas!
I heard, I grumbled as I sheathed my blade. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that. It's a terrible plan, after all.
It really is.
Mira agreed.
First off, they would have to defeat and kill us in battle, which they've never once come close to doing. Then, there's the fact that, even if they were to defeat us, Jonas wouldn't perform the ceremony for them.
I most certainly would not,
the Dragonkin Elder said as he came out from the tree line to join us.
In fact, I'd probably just do this ceremony wrong on purpose. Then the dragons would be released, and we would all burn in the raging inferno together.
Oh.
Lazan purred.
A bit of chaos. I love it.
Now, we just need to get up into the volcano, I explained. I'm sure there are more orcs on the inside, but I doubt they'll be any more difficult to handle than these assholes. Now, I hate to ask...
You can ride on my back.
Malky chuckled.
I'll carry as many of you as I can fit.
We'll just fly,
Ahuara noted.
As will I,
Gemma said as she walked over to her silver dragon.
I believe Arik can fit on Tyrion's back as well.
Can I, Dad?
Arik gasped and jumped up and down.
Can I really take a ride on Tyrion's back?
Of course you can, I chuckled. Gemma will be there to make sure you don't fall. Just make sure you listen to her.
I will, Dad!
Arik bounded away and then hopped up onto Tyrion's back, just between Gemma's body and the dragon's head. Instantly, Gemma wrapped her arms around the child's waist and held on tightly.
Jonas!
Gemma motioned to the Dragonkin Elder.
You're coming with us, too.
The robed soothsayer hobbled over to the Silver Dragon, where Eric and Gemma both helped lift him up onto the creature's back. At the same time, Mira, Sela, Nadir, Lazan, and I all approached Malky. You sure you can hold us all? I joked to the copper-scaled dragon. We weigh a whole lot more than Eric or any of my other kids.
I'll be able to handle it,
Malky promised.
None of you look like you weigh that much.
Ha ha, smart man,
Mira laughed.
That's what every woman in the world wants to hear.
Mira flipped up onto Malky's back first, and then the rest of us followed close behind. Once we were all aboard the Water Dragon Express, Malky stomped his foot into the ground.
Everybody got a good grip?
Malky glanced back over his shoulder.
Because I'm about to take off.
We're all good back here, Malky, I said. Do your thing. The copper water dragon let out a huff as he wiggled his hind legs like an overexcited puppy. Then he leaned his entire front half down into the ground, took a deep breath, and propelled himself forward with the strength of his back legs. The wind rushed past my face, and my whole body shook as we rode the water dragon up the side of the volcano. The Morpho women and Tyrion ascended behind us, though they all made much faster time than Malky could muster. Maybe we did weigh a lot after all. Still, we were eventually able to make it up the volcanic mountain. Soon we came to a spot where the peak completely vanished and the ground leveled off horizontally, so Malky slid to a stop, bent down, and let us off. All of our flying friends were already at the peak, and they all peered over the side of the volcano as we approached.
Okay,
Malky panted as he laid down on the rocky ground.
I lie. Maybe I'm not in as good of shape as I thought I was.
Take a breather, I offered the water dragon. You've earned it, and I think we'll be able to handle it from here. Then I walked over to the lip of the volcano, got down on my hands and knees, and peered over the side. Instantly, I saw what all of my friends were looking at. From deep within the depths rose the sound of loud, guttural snoring, and more importantly, we could see the figures of 8 sleeping giants down at the very bottom of the hollowed-out mountain. However, we weren't alone. There were flat rings of rock all around the circumference of the volcano that acted as makeshift platforms, and down on the first one stood a small group of orcs. These guys all had bows and arrows in their hands, and they were chit-chatting as they looked around at the dragons below. One of them even had a horn in his hand, the kind that would be used to sound the alarm and alert every single orc on the damn island.
Fuckers of mothers,
Mira grumbled through a whisper.
Please tell me we didn't just walk into a trap.
We didn't just walk into a trap, I promised. Or at least, we haven't walked into an active trap. Not yet.
Should I try to, what do you call it, Ben? Snipe them?
Gemma suggested as she reached for her bow. I've got a better idea, I explained. Tyrion!
Way ahead of you, Ben.
The silver-scaled dragon confirmed.
Just give me the word, and I'll burn them to a crisp.
Make sure you hit the one with the horn first, I warned. If not, we're going to have a lot of problems in our hands. Tyrion nodded before he turned back to the orcs. Then he hauled back his head, summoned a bit of red and yellow fire into his mouth, and threw his open maw forward. And flames erupted from the dragon in a fan-shaped blast that widened out and hit every single orc down below. They all let out panicked screams of agony as their bodies caught fire and their flesh was seared straight off their bones, but their sounds quickly dissipated as their lungs were turned to ash. Whatever was left of the orcs fell down onto the ground and smoldered into ashes. Good job, Tyrion, I proclaimed as I patted the killer dragon on his snout.
Is that it, then?
Sela questioned.
Was that the last of them?
I'm not sure, I admitted. But I do know one thing. Those are the last ones standing between us and the dragons. Now, let's get down there and get this ceremony started. The orcs had left their climbing ropes anchored into the rocks, so any member of our crew who didn't have wings just used those to descend into the pit. Soon we were down on the lower lip of the volcano's innards.
Easy now,
Mira cautioned as she helped Jonas down the last few steps of his climb.
There.
Jonas landed on the ground with an echoing thump, and he took a deep breath. Well, Jonas, I placed my hand on the soothsayer's shoulder. Now's the part where you show us what you've got. Are you ready?
I don't have much of a choice,
the elderly dragonkin shrugged.
But yes, it's time for the rebonding ceremony to begin.